Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, and welcome back to the Dropship Podcast. Today, it's John speaking to you. No Ben in this episode, and we're taking a little bit of a different path here today. Today, you're going to be listening to part one of an extended question and answer, kind of like an Ask Me Anything that I did about a month or two ago in one of our Facebook groups, the Dropship Tribe, as well as on our YouTube channel at Dropship Breakthrough on YouTube. And so, what you're going to hear is me working my way through a series of pre-submitted questions that were sent in ahead of time and also some questions that were asked live in either the Facebook group or YouTube while I was recording this session. So some I had a little bit of time to prepare for, some probably caught me off a little bit. And this has been broken up into three parts. So over the next few weeks, you're going to hear part two and part three here on the podcast. It went for over 2 hours, so we've chopped it up into more manageable chunks. In this episode, you're going to hear me talk about a number of things. I'm going to talk about dropshipping jewelry. I'm going to talk about dropshipping bespoke or custom-made products. I'm going to answer a question on shipping big and heavy products. I'm going to talk about fake suppliers and how to identify them and what to do about them. And of course, I'm going to take some questions on mine and Ben's program, Dropship Breakthrough. So buckle yourself in for part one of this Ask Me Anything. I'm going to start with a question from Claire. Thank you, Claire, for your question. So Claire's question was, regarding the jewelry niche, would you recommend designing your own packaging under your own brand and sending to suppliers so they can fulfill their products with your branded packaging, or is there a better alternative? Okay, good question, Claire, and thank you very much for sending that in. So I think the first thing I'm going to say about this, which, you know, I've got a couple of answers here which are a slight tangent to what you're saying, but the first thing I would say is that generally here at both for myself and I think Ben, the other side of Dropship Breakthrough and our podcast in this group, is probably that I wouldn't recommend doing jewelry at all. So certainly we're very focused on high-ticket dropshipping. And yes, you know, because, you know, as many times we've sort of gone through why we think that's the best way to do drop shipping. And jewelry doesn't really fit into how we would select a market that we think is going to be one, a good one in the long term. And there are a number of reasons for that. You could probably say, obviously, jewelry can be high ticket, but there is a lot of low ticket jewelry out there. And I don't know which side of it you're in at the moment, but certainly if you're focusing on the lower ticket side of jewelry, that's probably not something I'd recommend you do in the first place. So if you are towards the start of your journey, that might be something to rethink. The next question I would ask in response to that question is, why do you want to have your products in your own packaging? So what's the motivator behind asking this question? So now a lot of people, I think, who ask this sort of question, and definitely Claire's not the only person to ask this, think about, you know, they want to get their brand out there of their website and all of that sort of thing. And, you know, is that really necessary at this stage of your business? So most suppliers will, when you're dropshipping, will ship the product in their own packaging, right? And particularly if you're doing high ticket dropshipping, which is pretty much all we talk about here, you know, you're going to be dropshipping from established brands in the market who people recognize, i.e. your customers recognize them and, you know, are looking for those brands. So when the product turns up to their door in the brand's packaging, it's not actually a bad thing because that's the brand of the product that they're expecting to receive. And so there is not really, I mean, I personally for dropship products have never put them in my own packaging because honestly, it's just not necessary. It creates an additional set of hassles that you have to get suppliers to jump through. And think about, you know, on a high ticket dropshipping site, I might have 20 suppliers, right? And so if I have to get packaging to them, not every product is the same size. So maybe you would need different packaging and all of that sort of thing. I've got to get it to all 20 suppliers, make sure they've all always got it so they can ship my orders to my spec and all of that sort of thing. The work involved in doing that isn't actually worth the reward. Now, if your motivation behind asking that question was that you want to put your brand out there further, then yeah, look, there might be some options around getting your supplier to put an insert into the packaging from your brand, like a postcard or something like that, or putting some stickers on the packaging or something like that. But I don't think it's worth the time and expense of going to putting it in your own packaging. Now, if your motivation is that you're dropshipping stuff from somewhere like China and it almost always arrives in terrible packaging with all sorts of random stickers all over it and that sort of thing, well, my answer to that is going to be just don't dropship stuff from China and your problem is solved. It's not a problem. So definitely, Claire, I don't think it's necessary. Now, if it's really about branding and you want to push the brand of your business out there, which definitely a dropshipping business can be a branded thing and you do want to develop a brand in your market that people know and recognize, I think, you know, there are other ways that you can do that. So you can send things to your customers outside of the packaging. You can use online methods to communicate your brand to people, like email, retargeting, and all of that sort of thing. I don't think you really need to go to the extent of putting it in your own packaging. So that's my response to that one, Claire. Thank you very much for the question. I just want to jump in real quick here and say, if you've been thinking about getting started in the high ticket dropshipping space, maybe you've been thinking about joining the Dropship Breakthrough Program, but if you're like most people, you've got some questions. You might have some things that are unresolved in your mind around whether this is the right thing for you to be doing right now, whether this is the right thing for you to be investing your time in and starting a business here. Well, I've got something that might help you. If you are in that situation, you can jump on a call with a member of our team here at Dropship Breakthrough. It might even be me or Ben, to have a chat through those questions and help you work out whether high ticket dropshipping, being a member of Dropship Breakthrough, is the right thing for you to be doing right now. So all you need to do that is head to Dropship Breakthrough. That's one word, breakthrough spelled breakthrough.com/call. You'll find the link in the show notes. Head there and that will take you to a page which has a booking calendar on it where you can find a time that works for you. It's a free half an hour call where you'll chat with a member of our team, once again, could be me, could be Ben as well, about whatever you're thinking, whatever questions you have, whatever you'd like to work out, so that you can then go away and determine whether this is the right thing for you to be doing. So go ahead, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/call and book your call in today. A question from Cameron. Thanks for your question, Cameron. So Cameron asks, I've been talking to a supplier and their products are bespoke and made to order. We've been trying to work out the best arrangement, if any, for a situation like this. Is it best to ask them for a price for a spec of my choice? So that's a variation of the bespoke product of his choice, and then list that spec on my website at a set price. They did suggest doing it on a commission basis, and if the customer asked for any extras, I could refer the sale to them and they would give me a percentage of every sale that's come from my website. Is this something you have ever done, and do you think it's worth it in this business model? Not sure if it's worth noting, but these are really high ticket, so £20,000 plus. So Cameron's obviously in the UK. Do you think that's too much? So there's a number of questions here from Cameron, and this is a good one because when you're high ticket drop shipping and selling more expensive products, it's not unusual to come across suppliers in those sort of markets who do produce a made to order product. So, and what that means is that it might come in different specifications and it's made to order. So the supplier may not have a set retail price for you to advertise it at. And it's kind of like a price on application type arrangement. Now, that presents some challenges because it is a little harder for you to advertise a product in certain locations if you don't have a price for it. and if you can't provide clarity as to what's actually included. So, for example, you can't advertise a product on Google Shopping, which is one of our primary sales channels for high-ticket dropshipping, if you can't list a price for the product, right? You just won't get approved to sell that product there. So that, you know, the first part of Cameron's question, I think, is how do you actually make this work? The second one is, would you do it on a commission rather than handling the wholesale sale yourself? And, you know, I guess the last part of the question is the price £20,000, which I don't know what that relates to in US dollars at the moment, but it's certainly, I don't know, I think it's 15 or something like that, 1,000. Okay. So the first thing to say is, yes, I have heard of this being done, and I've worked with people who have done it. I've only done a little bit of this myself. So on my very first website I ever had, I did used to sell some bespoke chandeliers, so really big ones, which I didn't sell a lot of, but they were very large, and so they were made to order. And so we would get usually from other businesses. I can think of one which was like a ballroom here in Australia that called me up, and they were like, we want a big chandelier. It needs to be this many tiers. Are you able to get hold of one of those for us because you don't have one on your website? And it turned out that I could. And we went through a process of identifying their specifications. I went back to the supplier, which was also the manufacturer. We talked about it, and they made one to order for that customer, and I handled the sale. And obviously, I agreed a purchase price with the supplier on that. So it definitely is possible, and I do know other people who have done it, both on commission and both handling the sale through their website. So I would definitely say on the question of the commission, it would be my preference that you don't do it on commission, simply because it adds in an extra layer of, so if you do the commission, you're going to send the customer over to the supplier basically, and the supplier is going to handle the sale. And then after that sale is completed, they're going to pay you some amount of money, an agreed percentage or a fixed amount for producing that sale for them. So it's really an affiliate relationship. Look, I don't like that so much because you have to rely on the supplier paying you and paying you what you agree to and all of that sort of thing. So it does add an extra little layer where that relationship can be affected or be broken. So preferably, I would say, if you can find a way to take the payment yourself and then pass the customer's specifications onto the supplier for them to then produce and ship to the customer which is the traditional way that you're going to be taking your orders, I think that's the best option to do. Now, how to make it work on your site? I think there's a couple of options here, and what I would suggest you do is a hybrid model where you do both of the things I'm going to suggest. So I would definitely, for each of these products, get a spec or two of your choice. And you know, you might even be able to learn this from your customers as to what's the most desirable, or from the manufacturer, the supplier, about what is the most common spec that they take orders for, right? What is the most common combination of features, of variations, etc., that they're producing this product in? Go with that one, right? The one that's going to get the most customers interested. Create a product page with a fixed price around that, so that you can advertise that page as a way to get people who are interested in that product to come back to your site. Right, so that means you can then advertise that product in places like Google Shopping, and you've got more traffic opportunities. Now, on that product page, though, I would make it quite clear in some way on that page, high up the page where customers can see it, that this product can be also made to order. And if people would like to do that, they should get in contact with your business. I would put my phone number, call us today to arrange your bespoke product or something along those lines, right? So the customer knows that, yes, they can buy that particular spec, but they can also call you up or contact you in some way and get one of these and talk about getting one of these things made to their particular requirements. So that's the first thing I would definitely do. But what I would also do is I would build a sales page on my website. So it would be like a page, like a Shopify page. And I would make it a sales page that talks about the product, walks through what the different options for the product are, the manufacturing process, about how it's bespoke, about the benefits of that, what customers can do with the products, you know, basically sells the product in and what some of the options are. And then provides, once again, a way for the customer to talk with you about purchasing their own. So they're not actually going to purchase on the website. They're going to talk to you first. So whether that's you just have a click to call link, they click it, they're going to call your business. Or maybe you could have used like a calendar tool and you could actually do a sales call with people for that product. So you could use a tool like Calendly or Acuity or something like that, embed a booking calendar and then just set times that people can book a call with you, like a 15-minute call or a half an hour call. You're going to jump on the phone with them and you're going to talk through that sales process. And I guarantee you, if you can get people on the phone to talk about this stuff, you're going to sell way more of these products than if you're just relying on selling them online. So, and at that price point, £20,000, it's well worth spending the time to get on the phone with people, because if you sell just a few of these a month alongside other products that you might have on your website, so say you sell four of these a month, that's £80,000 or more. You know, that's a pretty good base for not a lot of work to make those sales and earn that money for your business. So I would do both of those things. And then on the product page, we've got the custom stuff. You could say, you could link to that sales page for people who want to get a bespoke version of the product. And then that sales page, you could also use that in marketing. So you could run, say, search text ads to that page for people who are searching for that product on Google. So you've got some options there, but that is the kind of hybrid approach I would take to selling that product. I would definitely be trying to get people on the phone to talk them through that sales process. I think if you can do that, your conversion rate is going to go up. And I would definitely work with, the price point is not too high. That's a great price point for a sort of bespoke type product. And so that's the way I'd go through it. All right. Now I've got some live questions coming in. So I'm going to switch over to some live questions here. The first one comes from Juzzy123. Thanks for the question, Juzzy. I think I know who that is, but I'm going to say that's Justin. Justin's question is, what is your cutoff in terms of size and weight of products to dropship? I've experienced larger items are very expensive to arrange shipping for and leave little profit margins. Good question. Not an uncommon question when it comes to drop shipping. And please, if you're watching live, feel free to start submitting questions. We're going to get through and answer them all. So in answer to this question, I don't think there is a clear answer, right? Because there are a number of factors that are going to determine this. So, and as is the case with many things, many questions in marketing, in e-commerce, drop shipping, There's not a black and white answer. And I don't like giving black and white answers because it can lead people to missing opportunities. And yes, you could probably argue, well, it'll save people from making mistakes, but it will also lead to people missing opportunities of places where they could have, done some good and got ahead. So this is one of those cases. I think there are some factors to consider. So the factors to consider firstly is, what's the price of the product? Right. So if you're talking about two products that are both very large and or heavy, and one is, $10,000 and the other is $1,000 and the margin on those products is 30% each. Well, in dollar terms, what you're left with to deal with the cost of shipping if you need to is significantly different. And so you've got way more options on fulfilling that $10,000 product than you do on the $1,000 product. Like a very large and heavy product at $1,000 is going to be, in a lot of cases, a significant challenge to do profitably, I think. I'm not going to, by no means is it impossible, but there are going to be challenges there. Whereas if the products are at a higher price and you've got a decent margin from your supplier, then you've got more options, and I think you can often do that at a decent enough profit margin to make it worthwhile. So that's one factor. The next factor is, like, when it comes to shipping the products, what else is happening in the market? Like, how are other retailers shipping them? So if people are already selling these products online, how are they shipping them? Are they charging for shipping? How much are they charging for shipping? What shipping arrangements are they using? Can you identify those things from their website, or can you just call them up and ask them some, pretend you're a customer and ask them some questions about how they're going to ship that product to you, right? See what you can learn, because you can often learn about how to do it well from people who are already selling them. Now, not always, but often you can. And if you're entering that market, you need to obviously make an assessment about, well, whatever everyone else is doing with these products, can I match that and still make money. Now, if you're seeing people who are selling and shipping your products at a price that you look at it and say, how does that actually economically work? Like, they're not charging enough for shipping, or they're doing it with free shipping and they're still selling the products, but I can't see how they're making money because the price I'm buying them at is, you know, it doesn't look like that's going to be possible. Well, then that's sometimes a scenario when you have to go back to the supplier and ask the supplier how they're doing that. Because I've found this before, that actually it turned out that my competitor was buying the products from their supplier at a lower price than I was. So, i.e. they were getting a better margin, and they were able to do things on shipping that I wasn't able to do. And so I had to have a fairly straight conversation with the supplier about, that's, you know, that kind of sucks for me. How do you think I'm supposed to make any money here? And that leads me into a conversation which I've talked about on our podcast before, about how you can use that as leverage to negotiate yourself better margins with that supplier. And the route I usually take there is, look, I don't want an advantage over my competition or anything like that. I just want a level playing field. So if you've already got retailers that you're paying a different margin to, or providing your products at a different margin to, can I have the same? Because I just want to be able to compete at the same level. And I'm pretty confident that, you know, the other things we do in our business will help customers to choose to go with us. So you kind of have to look at what other people are doing, and can you match that? You know, if it's expensive to ship, then, like, more than most things, and you can't see how you can do it profitably, then charge the customer, right? I mean, there is nothing wrong when you're selling high ticket, large and heavy items. There is nothing wrong with charging your customer for the cost of shipping. They're very expensive to arrange shipping for, then charge for them. You know, some people won't want to pay the shipping. Some people will. Like, it's all going to come down to what are their other options to get that product. If they really want it and they can't get it anywhere with cheaper shipping, or they just can't get it shipped to them from anywhere else, then sometimes some people are going to pay you to ship it to them, even though it feels like pretty expensive shipping. And sometimes, you know, in places that have more regional and remote locations like Australia and very dispersed populations, there will be people who will pay more than you would think to have something shipped to them, because the decision for them is to drive 6 hours each way to get it from a physical retail store or something like that. And that the cost of doing that is actually even higher than the shipping that you're going to charge them. So, you know, I don't think there's any gray areas. I think there's a series of questions that you need to work through to answer that question about, you know, do you have a cutoff? Now, there may be a cutoff in your market based on those factors, sure. But, you know, that's going to be very dependent on your particular niche. Hey, John here with a quick break from the episode. Drop shipping and running a business in general can be a pretty lonely experience, as in you're probably unlikely to know many people in your private life who are drop shipping, who are running an e-commerce business or even an online business. It can be a lonely journey, and it can be a much more successful journey if you have some sort of connection to a community of people who are doing the same thing as you. If you have a space where you can ask questions, where you can get support, and even if you haven't started a high-ticket dropshipping business yet, somewhere you can go and see other people who are doing what you're doing and kind of hang out and get a feel for how things work. Well, the good news is that you can do just that. Ben and I have a free Facebook group called the Dropship Tribe, where you can join for free and hang out with other high-ticket dropshippers. It doesn't matter if you haven't started a business yet. You can still get in there. And what makes it even better is in that group, you have some access to Ben and I. So we're in there all the time answering people's questions, sharing things that we're working on, things that we're doing at the moment in the high-ticket dropshipping space. And so not only will you get to hang out with other people who are doing high-ticket dropshipping or are interested in high-ticket dropshipping, you also get to hang out with Ben and I in that Facebook group. And so it can be a really good opportunity, not just for you to get help or share your ideas, ask questions, whatever, but even if you just want to get an idea about whether high ticket dropshipping is the right thing for you to be doing. I mean, you've probably heard about it. You've listened to me and Ben talk about it. You might've watched our videos. But if you want to get an even closer look, jump into the Dropship Tribe on Facebook and spend a bit of time there. See what people have been talking about. See all the questions and answers that are in there. It's been there for years now, so there's quite a bit of information in there. Get a feel for it, join the community, and use it to really help you work out where your dropship journey should be heading. So once again, go onto Facebook. You can just go into the Facebook search bar and search The Dropship Tribe. You'll also find a link in the show notes, and head in there and join that group. Okay, so next question I'm going to jump over to is from Matthew. Matthew's live. Thanks for jumping on and asking the question, Matthew. Matthew's question is, I've noticed a few suppliers that also have their own products for sale on their site. They're not actively doing ads for them, though. Is this common? Could it be a problem when trying to become a distributor or a reseller for them? That's a good question, Matthew. Honestly, a question that does come up a lot from people who are getting into high ticket dropshipping and doing this for the first time. So, good question. The answer, look, ultimately, is it a problem? The answer is no. It's not a problem. So, it's not uncommon to see either. Suppliers, manufacturers, they'll have a website usually, and often their website will have e-commerce functionality on it, as in you will see there's a cart page, so people could add things to cart and buy them, but they're not actually doing any marketing. So in that scenario, it's fine, I think, to still work with them. That's not going to pose any additional problems for you. I will say there was a period probably back around when I was first starting out where it was really sexy to add e-commerce functionality to your website if you did anything to do with products. And I think there were a lot of web design and development companies running around spruiking to anybody who would listen that, oh, e-commerce is new, we can add this functionality to your website. And so a lot of businesses took them up on that, not realizing what it actually takes to make any money selling stuff online, and that it's not just a case of build it and they will come. And so there are a lot of suppliers that have that functionality on their website but don't actually make any use of it. They don't try to. And they never really intended to, because that's not the business model that they went into business to do. Their primary focus is selling to retailers like yourself and physical retailers, other online retailers, whatever it might be, and that's who they want to serve. So it's not a problem. If they're not marketing, if they're not paying for ads, then that means most customers are not finding them, right? They're not finding them online. And so there is plenty of space for you to market their products. Obviously you're going to have other competition from other retailers, but it's not going to be the case where you put in a lot of work to drive traffic to your site and all of that sort of thing, and the sale ends up going directly through your supplier's website. There are circumstances where that might be a concern, which is if the supplier is actively marketing their products in all the places that you're going to actively market your products. That is a more challenging environment to operate in, and you do need to keep an eye out for that. I'm not going to dig too much into the solutions or the thoughts around that, because Ben and I are actually going to record a podcast episode on that very soon, I think. But in your scenario, Matthew, not a big problem. All right, following on, Juzzy says, thanks, John. Love the course, by the way. No worries, brother. Thanks for the question. All right, I'm going to do one more live question here, and then I'm going to jump back over to some of the pre-submitted questions. This question is from John, another John. Hey, John, great name, you legend. John says, my store is selling high-ticket coffee machines. I want to white label and dropship coffee beans. My question is, since it's a consumable, do you need specific licenses in order to sell the product? Thank you. John, cool. Well done for setting up a business selling high-ticket coffee machines. I think that's not a bad idea. I love coffee, so that's great. As far as I'm aware, you're white labeling it, but you're not the business that is packaging it. So if you're buying these things pre-packaged and sealed, you're not the producer of that. You're not actually the producer of that product. So whether or not there's specific licenses will depend on your country, of course, because what this comes down to is food standards, right? So there will be in any country regulations around the facility where those coffee beans are packaged and how they are packaged. And obviously labeling, so dates, use by dates and things like that. And that's going to vary country to country, obviously, because every country has their own laws around this sort of thing. So I would say certainly if you're worried about regulations, rather than relying solely on what I say, check in your local jurisdiction about whether there is anything that relates to you as a reseller. Because even though you're white labeling it, you're still getting the product packaged by somebody else. So it's still not a product that you're producing yourself. You're just getting your own sticker slapped on the front so it looks like it's coming from your brand. So as far as I'm aware, it's the regulation is a requirement, regulatory requirement for licenses or any other things that have to be adhered to is going to lie with the company that owns and operates the facility where those coffee beans are going to be packaged, and or if they're processed prior to that step further up the supply chain, it's going to lie there as well, which may be in an altogether different country. So it's not your – I would recommend that you check that those facilities have those – they do meet the requirements of whatever your local food standards or food and health regulations say they need to meet. Because I think theoretically if, and once again, this is not legal advice, I'll give that disclaimer, but I think if you do sell something that doesn't adhere to the requirements, possibly, and let's say somebody gets sick from using your products, possibly you could have a liability there. So you just need to make sure that they are checking the boxes, but it's not up to you to check the boxes for them, I guess is what I would say is my first immediate response. But always, I mean, this is a legal area, so it can help you to get actual legal advice if it is something that you're concerned about. So thanks for that. A little side question, Fernando asks, is this your first live? No, it is certainly not, Fernando. I've done plenty in the past. I just haven't done any in quite a long time. Cool. I'm going to jump over to another pre-submitted question now. This question actually came from Ryan Senders. A little bit of a self-interest question here, but I am going to answer it. Ryan asks, if I only had $500 disposable cash this month, should I invest it in your course? Or should I take all the free content you provide and use the $500 towards ads, and why? Good question, Ryan. So at the moment, as I'm recording this, which is if you listen to this on our podcast in the future, it's not going to be at this date. It's not going to be relevant anymore. We do have a Black Friday deal going right now, which we're running until the end of 2022 because we're going to be increasing our program prices on 1st of January 2023, and we want to give as many people as possible a chance to get in. So if you are watching live, you'll see a little thing going along the bottom of the screen here. That's where you can go to check it out. So we do have a little product at the moment that helps people get their business up and running, their first business up and running in the high ticket dropshipping space, which is at $497. So obviously with $500, you could purchase that. So Ryan's asking, should I do that or should I take all your free content and provide, you know, use that $500 towards ads? I'm going to say you should, I believe, still purchase our course with that $500. Look, I'll probably go back a step and say if you only have $500 disposable this month and you're not in the foreseeable future going to have any more than that, now might not be the time to start a business, right? I mean, you're living on the edge there. Is my assessment. Now, you know you've got more money coming in, that's fine. But, you know, once again, don't put yourself under undue financial stress to start a business. That's not the best idea ever because, you know, your business may not produce returns as quickly as you hope it's going to. So that's an honest part of this answer. But let's just say for the sake of the exercise, I would still invest it in the course. Now, the reason for that is that yes, Ben and I do put out a ton of free information about how to do this business model, high ticket dropshipping, more than anybody else out there, right? Honestly, and it's all honest and factual advice rather than fluffed up crap that a lot of people on TikTok and places like that put out, right? Now, I'll be honest, that's the honest truth, and I'd love to see anybody challenge me on that. And so we do have people who consume our free content and start a business, right? Which is super cool. That was not actually what I thought would happen when we started doing the free content. But it does happen. I think it's uber cool and good on those people. Now, the challenge with that, though, is that, you know, a lot of our free content is on our podcast. Some's on our YouTube channel, which is video-based, of course. A lot's on our podcast. And so it's difficult to get everything across in just the audio format, right? I mean, there's a lot. We give a lot away, and we certainly, I think, do give enough away to get something started there, for sure, because people have done it. But a lot of those people miss things. And that's simply because there is a level of nuance to building and starting a business and launching it that you just can't explain in ads, in ads, on a podcast, or even, you know, it would take a long time to get it all out there on our YouTube channel for free. And, you know, we're certainly working towards getting more and more out there, but it's going to take time. So I think an example of this is, like, in that $497 program that we're doing at the moment, we have an entire module on how to run Google Ads, which is going to be your first traffic source for a high-ticket dropshipping business. Now, I cannot explain to you, we've talked about how we do it on the podcast, but you can't see us set it up and do it. And there is literally no way to explain that in a way that will not lose people on a podcast, like exactly how to do it. Whereas in the course, it's 25 videos just on this particular topic in our program, right? You actually watch me set the whole thing up. I explain to you the reasons why I'm doing things the way they are. I explain all of the terms, all of the terminology that probably is going to seem like a foreign language to you if you've never run ads before. And so you just can't get that depth of knowledge across in somewhere like a podcast, or it's very slow to do it for a YouTube channel, for example. And so, you know, because I've built the program and now with Ben's help since 2019, like, that's how much time has been put into our program. We're still building it out, still adding things in. So by buying the course, you get a depth of knowledge that you can't get anywhere else from us. And what that's going to do for you is it's going to significantly reduce the chances that you get something wrong, particularly when it comes to paying for your traffic. So in your example, you suggest maybe I could just start a business with your free content and then use that $500 for ads. The risk there is that if you do that and you get the ad stuff wrong, you're going to waste $500. And then you're going to have to come back and buy our course anyway. And then you're going to have to go back and fix your stuff. So you're going to lose time as well as money, right? Whereas if you get the course first, now it's going to take you at least 30 days to build and launch your business, right? So if you spend $500 now, it's going to be another 30 days for most people. Some people it takes a bit longer, some people it takes a little bit less, and before you're going to spend any money on ads, right? So by that time, can you save another $500 to start spending on your ads? Not to mention, when you set up a new ads account, you're going to get a coupon from Google, spend 500, get 500 for free, right? That's what they're doing at the moment, particularly in the US. So that would be my question. So I would suggest learning how to do it as best as you can now, so that you get everything as right as possible, and then launch your business and then spend money on ads, because you're probably going to get the ads right and increase your chances that you actually get some return on those ads. The other thing that you'll get by being in the program is you get our support. So once again, people who put things together for free from us, fantastic. But they don't have any access to me and Ben. So if you're like to ask questions, what if something's not making sense? What if you can't work something out? If you're in our, once again, what if you get the market selection wrong? If you're in that program, you actually get access to us. So if you've got questions, if you can ask us, we do a market verification. So when you choose what products you want to sell or not, you know, you can submit that to me and Ben, and we actually check it for you and tell you, yes, you've got that right. You're not wasting your time here. We think that's a viable market for you to sell in. Or maybe sometimes we say, no, whoa, don't do that. If you do that, we don't think it's going to be a good experience. You need to choose something else. So that's the other reason why I'd say be part of our community, because you get support while you're setting up your business, which for some people is a very, very valuable thing.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.